www.thebridgeofhope.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The fire was so intense and it moved so rapidly that we still today are experiencing trees falling, power lines that are burned that are still falling.
California fire officials explaining why tens of thousands of residents are still not allowed to return to their homes, even though the flames have moved on from the areas where they were living. 31 people now confirmed dead from the wildfires in California, with hundreds still missing, an estimated 3,500 homes and businesses destroyed. President Trump delivering a speech at the Values Voters Summit. President saying the government should not be the one raising Americans' children. That should be the parents.
But we know that parents, not bureaucrats, know best how to raise their children and create a thriving society.
The president will be decertifying the Iran nuclear deal, but he's not pulling the U.S. out of the accord right now. USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job, with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Many conservative groups not happy today after a decision by Maine Senator Susan Collins.
The moderate Republican says she intends to play a role in advancing policies to strengthen the economy, improve health care, and bring peace and stability to what she says is a violent and troubled world.
The best way that I can contribute to these priorities is to remain a member of the United States Senate.
Collins had openly entertained the possibility of running for governor of Maine next year. The 64-year-old senator did not vote for President Trump last year, and she opposed both Senate bills aimed at repealing Obamacare.
Federal health officials say nearly 40% of the U.S. adults are obese. The study released by the CDC also says 19% of American youth are obese. The percentage of obese adults is the highest in the nation's history. The CDC says obesity among adults has been rising steadily since 1999, and the trend shows no sign of slowing down. USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
All European eyes looking at Austria for a major election this Sunday.
The focus of this election will be on candidate Sebastian Kurz. He's the leader of the Conservative People's Party and the odds-on favorite to win. Kurz has been a rising star overseas, becoming the world's youngest foreign minister back in 2013 at the age of 27. Immigration is a major part of his campaign, with Kurz pledging to take a tougher stance on immigration. Voting will be held on Sunday.
A man is under arrest after it was found he put a tracking device on the vehicle of his ex-girlfriend. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The 27-year-old was arrested earlier this week for using an electronic tracking device to follow his ex-girlfriend around town. The ex and a friend grew concerned after seeing Joseph Mackay show up at different spots, so they searched the undercarriage of her car and found the device. When the device was in the hands of police, they activated it, and Mackay was seen nearby shortly after and arrested. Mackay is reportedly awaiting trial in California for stalking a different woman.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's forecast for the citrus industry is showing that the Florida crop was hit hard by Hurricane Irma, but it might not tell the whole story. The USDA predicted the current season will yield 54 million boxes of oranges, down from the more than 68 million harvested last season. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam says the forecast cannot possibly account for all of the damage done by Hurricane Irma. Putnam says some groves are still underwater and others are littered with rotting fruit. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
Hello and welcome to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. You're going to want to stay tuned later this hour for our interview with former Secretary of State George Shultz, a fascinating conversation. But first, let's start with 19th century British race relations. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Shrabani Basu. She is the author of Victoria and Abdul. That is now a major motion picture in theaters across the country through Focus Features, starring Judi Dench, Ali Fazal, and Michael Gambon. You are the author of this book. Tell us something about the background. Now this is the story of Abdul Karim, who came to serve Queen Victoria in England. How did that come to be?
He was from Agra in India, and he was sent to England for the Golden Jubilee. He was sent as a present, basically. He and another servant were sent to Queen Victoria as presents for the Golden Jubilee. Their job was to just stand behind her, wear these grand clothes, and look and represent, the Indian Empire, as it were. So initially it started as, really decorative objects standing behind her. But very quickly this relationship changed. And she formed a close friendship with Abdul Karim. He had double English lessons, and he soon started teaching her Hindustani or Urdu. And he cooked her a curry. So suddenly he was taking her into another world, a little mini India, as it were.
What context did this occur in Queen Victoria's life? She had just experienced a significant loss, hadn't she?
She had been a widow now for many years, and she was lonely. She's 68 years old. She had briefly had a respite from this small relationship with John Brown. He brought her out of her mourning, but then John Brown died in 1883, and 4 years later, she was so upset, so depressed, and 4 years later, along comes Abdul Karim, and he's like a breath of fresh air. He's young. He doesn't have these barriers of formality. He talks to her like a normal human being. He tells her about India. She writes that he's a source of great comfort to her. And she enjoys his company. She enjoys talking to him. She enjoys learning from him. She wants to learn Hindustani. He cooks her a curry. So this relationship just keeps growing. And it's, you know, this friendship, this bond keeps getting stronger over the years.
We're speaking with Shravani Basu. She is the author of Victoria and Abdul. So once he became someone who was regularly close to her, part of her her court, so to speak, what was the relationship between Abdul Karim and other people around Queen Victoria?
Well, as soon as she promotes him to becoming her munshi or teacher and says he's part of the household, it doesn't go down well at all with the rest of the household because suddenly he is equal to them and, you know, they're not going to accept a commoner from India, you know, in their position. So he's given houses, he's given his own carriage, he has staff of his own. She gives him titles and honors, and they hate it. And not just the household, her own family, her son, her daughters, they all hate it. And they try every trick in the book to bring him down. They accuse him of theft. They accuse him of being a spy, a Muslim spy for Afghanistan. They have him followed when he goes to India. They can't nail anything on him. They keep trying. And finally, they even threaten to go on strike and say, we'll collectively resign if you take him to Europe with you. Well, of course, you know, that doesn't go down well with the queen. She flies into a temper, knocks everything down from her desk, and nobody resigns. They all go to Europe. And, of course, Abdul Karim has his own carriage. So it's like, you know, Victoria and Munshi one and household nil, as far as the scores go. But they keep trying. They just keep on trying. And finally, they even threaten to take her, you know, make her step down from the throne on grounds of insanity. And that I found was really amazing. I found this entry in the doctor's journals. And nobody, I had not read this in any Western biography, and I think it had just been missed by Western biographers, because it's a small entry. But the outrageousness of this fact, that this is Queen Victoria, she's defined in age, she is queen of, you know, at the time the empire is at its height. And to go to her and say, we're going to ask you to step down on grounds of insanity, is quite something, takes a lot of guts. And of course, Queen Victoria, being Queen Victoria, sends them a 32-page memo when they say this and, you know, calls them out on being racist and being snobbery. She says, you know, all of you have class snobbery. And she insists that they are courteous to the Munshi. So, yeah, it's great. She's a feisty woman, and I love that about her. It was great to, you know, find this side to Queen Victoria.
It's an amazing story and one that I had never heard of myself before. How did you discover this story and how did you bring it to light?
Well, I was very curious when I went to Osborne House and I saw a portrait of Abdul Karim. At this stage, all I knew was that Queen Victoria loved curries and that she had some Indian servants. But when I saw his portrait in Osborne House, it really aroused my curiosity because he was painted like a nobleman in red and gold and cream, and he's holding a book. I mean, you don't paint servants, you know, holding books. So that was definitely something that spoke to me. And then I found his photograph in her bedroom, in the dressing area, just below that of John Brown. So it was, you know, quite obvious that he's somebody special. And then that took me on further. I decided to, start the proper research, and I went to Windsor Castle. I wanted to see the Hindustani journals. Again, nobody had looked at her journals. These are the journals she kept with Abdul Karim for 13 years, learning Urdu from him every day, something nobody had known. Goodness. And also, I just thought it would be a small exercise book, you know, with a few phrases. They wheeled in a trolley with 13 volumes, and that really... That brought the story alive. I said, I'm going to be here a long time in Windsor Castle. And I read all 13 volumes. And they're record of their everyday life. It's like she writes, you know, one of the entries is, the Munshi's cat has had kittens, and I'm going to go see the kittens. Then Lady Churchill wants a kitten. it was these really personal things that, you know, this is the Empress of India, this is Queen of England, and this is a clerk from Agra jail. He's just an ordinary 25-year-old. And this relationship, which is so personal, so intimate, she would write to him and say, come and say goodnight to me. She would write to him 5 times a day and sign it, your best friend, sometimes in Urdu. Sometimes she would write, your mother. You know, it's a relationship that was working on so many levels. So just the whole thing was such an amazing and incredible story that, you know, I stayed with it. I had to keep on going and find out more.
Well, it's a wonderful story, and I'm so glad it's finally getting the attention it deserves. Again, it's now a major motion picture with Judy Dench and Ali Fazal, and is in theaters across the country and indeed across the world. We've been speaking with Shravani Basu. She is the author of Victoria and Abdul. Thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News and speaking about it.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small. I want to be more.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
Exercise is hard, so is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year, but most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Tis the season. A very unusual smell. It prompted a hazmat response at a high school in Baltimore. We have affiliates near there. It was found to have a seasonal, but not unusual cause. A pumpkin spice air freshener. Yes, it's not just at Starbucks. It's everywhere. It's unavoidable. It's October. Cristo Rey Jesuit High School posted a statement on its website explaining students noticed a strange odor on the third floor of the school at about 2:30 p.m. on Thursday. And it could only be the disastrous scent that we know as pumpkin spice. Officials evacuated the school, and emergency personnel, including the Baltimore City Fire Department's hazmat team, were summoned to investigate the odor. But all was well, except for the usual seasonal smelly nonsense. Granola news, ladies and gentlemen. A bakery's granola may be made with love. It's so true. But officials on the federal level say that it should not be listed, love that is, as an ingredient on the package. Well, that is very true. Neshoba Brook Bakery in Concord, Massachusetts, was taken to task by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for listing love as an ingredient. In a letter posted this week on the FDA website, the agency said federal regulations require that ingredients must be listed by their common or usual name. Love, apparently. Not so usual in this day and age. And indeed, the FDA writes, love is not a common or usual name of an ingredient. And it's considered to be intervening material, because it's not part of the common or usual name of the ingredient. Don't they get it that all the world needs now, in addition to oats, sweet oats, is love? And maybe some raisins. And maybe some pumpkin spice. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're very honored today to be speaking with former Secretary of State George Shultz. He was Secretary of State during the Reagan administration from 1982 to 1989, and the re-release of Turmoil and Triumph, the George Shultz years, is taking place on DVD. Secretary Shultz, thank you so much for being with us today.
A pleasure.
You were Secretary of State during a very critical time in terms of foreign policy of this country and played a key role in implementing a policy that led to the successful conclusion of the Cold War. What for you was the key to winning that decades-long confrontation?
It was understanding the relationship between strength and successful negotiation. There's an interplay. And President Reagan understood that and used it very effectively.
Now we're obviously at a time where there's a very different set of circumstances around, but we're dealing still with nuclear confrontations around the globe. What would your advice be to the current administration in dealing with the North Korean situation?
Well, it's a very hard nut to crack, there's no doubt about it. And there has to be some combination, again, of strength. The North Koreans have to really take it in that they are on a suicidal path. And if they want something other than suicide, they should be ready to work it out. Whether that's the case right now, I don't know. But I think the avenue to get somewhere is with China, and of course Japan and South Korea, and maybe Russia.
Do you think we are taking the right approach? Do you think we're showing the right degree of strength versus willingness to negotiate at this point?
It's a little hard for me to say because I'm not there, but we have talked very tough. I remember in Marine Corps boot camp 75 years ago, the start of World War II, the sergeant hands me my rifle. He says, take good care of this rifle. This is your best friend, and remember one thing. Never point this rifle at anybody unless you're willing to pull the trigger. No empty threat. So there has to be a net realization that what threats we make are not empty. That was the problem with President Obama. He drew a red line, and when it was crossed, he did nothing. Once that happened, our credibility was shot.
We're speaking with former Secretary of State George Shultz. Turmoil and Triumph, the George Shultz years, is being re-released on DVD. You spent much of your distinguished career focusing on economic and budgetary matters. We now have a national debt of $20 trillion. How much of a danger is that to our economy, and what can we do about it at this point?
It's an immense problem. Let's suppose interest rates go up to a modest level, like 3 or 4%. Then the burden of that debt, which has been negligible with interest rates at zero or so, suddenly becomes very large, maybe 7 or 8% of the budget rising. And with the entitlement programs continuing to pile on, you gradually eliminate the room for anything else. So it's got to be tackled. And the only way to really get at it is do something about the entitlement programs and get them under control. And that seems to be a lot of people just rule it off the table. Well, if it's off the table, then there's no way you're going to solve the problem. So you've got to get after it.
Do you foresee any events politically that might put it back on the table, at least in people's minds?
Well, I have to realize the seriousness of the problem, first of all. And when you do that, work at it. If you take a Social Security, for example, that hasn't been touched since 1982, I guess it was, when President Reagan and Speaker O'Neill basically did it. And what they did was they got a commission appointed. Alan Greenspan headed it. And there was kind of an agreement that whatever the commission recommended would go into effect unless one house or the other voted against it. So nobody had to vote for anything. But nevertheless, their clever deal made something happen. So there's got to be a little ingenuity about it. But there are important things that can be done and should be done that will not set anybody back. But it's hard to face up to it.
Let's hope that takes place. We've been speaking with former Secretary of State George Shultz. Turmoil and Triumph, the George Shultz years, is being re-released on DVD. Secretary Shultz, thank you so much for taking the time today, sir. All the best.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
Information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Mike Hewitt here with a minute of common sense. Folks, as a society, we need to pause for self-reflection. Each act of mass murder sees predictable reactions from both sides of the divide, each hoping the aggressor is from the other side, hoping the act of insanity will damage the opposition. I'll save the House divided speech for another time. We must move beyond politics, beyond the obvious of what and how cliched debates, guns, trucks, knives, bombs, etc. We must stop the bickering over method and begin the process of understanding why these atrocities are committed. We have a problem and it's not going to resolve itself. We must set aside our biases and take a long look at the real problem. For starters, our mental health care industry has become the concern of billing hours, hurry up and wait, and liability over diagnosis, rehabilitation, and cure. It's going to take way more than political rhetoric to fix these problems, and I cannot think of a better time to start than now. Folks, for more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
President Trump is refusing to recertify Iran's compliance with the Iran nuclear deal, and he's slamming the previous administration for bailing out the Iranian government.
But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran.
The death toll in the California fires increasing to 31, and fire officials say conditions are not good for fighting the flames with an increase in dry wind.
We're expecting winds that could be almost to the force that we saw on Sunday and Monday. So we're not out of the woods yet. We still have danger ahead of us.
CAL FIRE officials say the death toll expected to rise as more missing people are found. USA Radio News.
Good news, everyone. Futurama is back in an all-new episode that's available for audio download or listening today. And it's free. The new episode, created by the original Futurama team, came to life after they were reunited to create new content for Jam City's mobile game, Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow. Executive producer David X. Cohen says the cast had a great time creating both the video game and the 42-minute-long podcast episode.
It's weird, you know. Several years go by and you don't make an episode of Futurama and you get a little nervous, like, can we still do this? And then everybody just kind of locks into work mode again and it feels like old times. We have the whole original crew back together for this. We have all original writers from the show. We have the original animators and the entire cast of the show.
Fans of the show will find the podcast on sites including Nerdist.com and YouTube. The Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow game is also free and available for mobile devices via the App Store and Google Play.
And now, it's the news.
Dog tongues. A St. Bernard in South Dakota has set a new slobbery world record. Mochi, also known as Mo, holds the Guinness World Record title for having the longest tongue on a dog. How long is that tongue, you might ask, and I might tell you. It measures 7.13 inches or 18.58 centimeters. Go forth and spout trivia, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Andrew Vaughn. He is the author of Willie Nelson, American Icon, and he's here to talk with us about that particular gentleman, that legend of country and popular music. Andrew Vaughn, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So how do you first become interested in this topic? How did you focus your attention on someone who for decades has been a part of the landscape when it comes, especially to country music, but there have been innumerable crossovers into the world of pop music as well?
Well, I think you gave a clue to the answer in your question when you said the word decades. I've been a music journalist for a few years myself and written books about different people. But, you know, Willie Nelson, if anyone deserves a beautifully packaged coffee table tribute, which is what this book is really, I think it's him because he has been around for such a long time and never stopped moving. It's a wonderful story. He's had his ups and downs. He's had successes and failures. He's campaigned for people. He's put his neck on the line. He's stood up to be counted. He's tried things that a lot of other artists wouldn't try musically. And he's just a fascinating person, I think. He really is an icon. And the idea was to celebrate his life in a book that gave his life context. I mean, when I started writing the book and talking about him growing up in the Depression, in the 1930s. It's like, oh my gosh, that is a long time ago. And, you know, his life has spanned so many changes. You know, he's lived through so many different eras. But it's just a remarkable. I think that the fact that we have some beautiful pictures, which are contemporary from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 70s, the 80s, up to now, that suddenly when you look at the book with the context of my words telling his story and the pictures placing it in context, his life makes sense, and it's just a fascinating glimpse into not just one person's story, but, you know, the story of America, the story of pop music, the story of culture over the last 50, 60 years. It's fascinating to look at in one go.
We're speaking with Andrew Vaughn. He is the author of Willie Nelson, American Icon. So when I first became aware of who he was, it was the mid-1980s, and he was On the Road was the song that was really popular of his. He was in that period. I was aware of what was going on with Farm Aid. And but he had been gone for at least a couple of decades in some very popular music. Take us back to the late 1950s and 1960s and how he really got his start as a songwriter and an artist in his own right.
Well, he started. He left Texas, went on the road. You know, he had musical talent, so he was able to be a self-contained musician. He could join the house band of a band in some bar in a small town, or he could go on and do songs by himself. So he had the tools to build a career. He built a career in Texas and Oklahoma and the southeast of the United States, playing gigs, basically, as many as he could. He also supplemented his income with being a DJ on local radio stations, playing music and talking to people. So I think that's where he learned his craft of expressing himself well and coming across and being warm and friendly to people, which is a definite trademark of his concerts over the years. He's a very likable character. So in the 50s, he went on the road and tried to make his name. It didn't quite work too well, but he did well enough to afford the trip to Nashville and take the risk of moving to Nashville, which was the center of country music. And the idea was that if you had any kind of a local career, you had to move to Nashville to make it big time, which is still the case today in country music. People move to Nashville to get signed and become a superstar. That was his idea. Unfortunately, it didn't work out particularly well. He arrived in Nashville in the early 60s and didn't really have too much success as an artist, even though he got a major record company deal with RCA Records and with the great Chet Atkins, who was the producer and the label head. It just didn't work. His music was good. The songs were great. Other people were recording his songs and having huge hits, like Patsy Cline recorded Crazy, mm-hmm. and it became a worldwide smash. So he had the talent, he had the musical chops, but something stopped him breaking through as an artist. So the songwriting allowed him to continue trying because he was making money from royalties. In fact, there's a funny story. In the mid-60s, he went on the road with Ray Price as the bass player because he just needed a job. And while he was out, the royalties for Crazy started coming in. So while he was on the road with the band, he was staying in much nicer hotels than the leader of the band that he was the bass player for, because he had loads of money coming in. So he's always been a character. And then again, he signed with Chet and he tried to make it with RCA Records and it just didn't work. He had some minor hits, but didn't break through. And he quit. He quit the business because it wasn't working as an artist. And I think he was prepared to just, you know, be a songwriter if necessary and keep the money coming in. But he was never going to be a singer-songwriter. And then he sold his farm in Nashville and moved to Texas. And then the next stage of his life started when he became a superstar.
Well, I'll leave the rest of that story for those who want to go out and purchase Willie Nelson, American Icon. The author is Andrew Vaughn. Andrew, I will note before we go that that you don't seem to have a native Texan accent, and I want to find out how you personally came to this, given your background.
I was a music journalist in England, where I grew up. I just happened to grow up in a part of the country where we had a lot of American air bases. When I was growing up, there was lots of them. So the local radio stations played country music in order to play the music that their local population liked. So I heard country music growing up. So when I was a music journalist and country music became, you know, popular in England, you know, during the days of Garth Brooks, who was a global superstar, everyone came to me and said, "Oh, you're the guy that likes country music. You're the country guy. You're the country guy." So I became England's country guy, and you know that led to one thing or another. I ended up moving to Nashville. I now live in Nashville. So.
Well, welcome.
That's a nutshell.
I appreciate you giving it to us, and thank you so much for bringing this book, Willie Nelson, American Icon, by Andrew Vaughn. Andrew, thanks so much for speaking with us today about it.
Thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
On Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Get to the chopper!
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Money causes stress and uneasiness in our closest relationships, according to Bank of America's new Friends Again report. In fact, more than 50% of the population has seen a friendship end over money, and it is not always a lot of money that will cause a relationship rift. Nearly 40% of consumers say they would end a friendship over $100 or less, but there are ways we can salvage a relationship before it goes south over an IOU. Dr. Melanie Ross Mills, relationship expert.
Talking about money doesn't always have to be awkward. If you follow some simple tips, having an honest conversation is the best way to avoid these issues. Coordinate shared expenses in advance to avoid unexpected spending. Communicate openly with your friends about money owed and use mobile apps like the Bank of America app for a simple way to send, request, and receive money from friends, no matter where they bank.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/friendsagain.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Today we're speaking with Jessica Bruder. She is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. Jessica, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the open road, it used to be something that Americans aspired to, getting out there, traveling across the country, traveling in an RV, maybe even living in one. It seemed to be a promise of freedom. But your investigation that you conducted and written up in this book really seems to be the opposite. It seems to be what people are doing on the way down as opposed to doing on the way up.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I saw an RV, back before I started working on this book project, I assumed that the occupants were probably the last of the great pensioners, you know, enjoying their golden years on some secure savings and, you know, going to see everything from Old Faithful to Niagara Falls and just, you know, writing postcards along the way. And it just seemed like this really just charmed existence. And while those people, by all means, are still out there, they've been joined by a whole new group of folks who have really been battered around by the economy, particularly in a society where we still have, you know, $7.25 is our federal minimum wage and housing costs keep going up. And for a lot of people, that's put them in a pretty untenable situation, for which going mobile has kind of been the valve that releases some of the pressure.
I certainly see people in my neck of the woods, and I live in southern Oregon, who use RVs or trailers as basically their in-law unit. I mean, this is their plan for a retirement or to help their parents. And I think it seems to me that's something born of economic necessity. Also, how have some of the people that you've talked to made the decision that I can't afford a home anymore, and this is what I'm going to do instead?
Yeah, I mean, the stories are as unique as the people themselves, but for a lot of people, in general, 2008 was a wake-up call. But for people in particular who are on the brink of retirement and suddenly faced, without having time to make it up, losing their savings, possibly losing their 401ks, losing the equity in their homes that they plan to retire on, it was really a particularly dire blow. So I met people out on the road who had, again, lost all of those things, and some of them had pretty high-profile jobs during their main careers, and I also met people who'd been caught on the low-wage treadmill and had never been able to put away enough to retire. And, you know, meanwhile, we live in a culture where pensions have been replaced with 401ks. In the 80s, 401ks were cynically marketed as instruments of financial freedom while really taking the risk off of the shoulders of the employer and moving it over to the worker. And I think that's been kind of a disaster. So we've got all these factors that have people getting out on the road from different economic strata.
We're speaking with Jessica Bruder. She is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. What is day-to-day life like for these folks, and is it actually less expensive than what the alternatives are?
I believe it can be less expensive. People envision that folks living this lifestyle are constantly in motion, and that's actually not true. Hmm. Often it's about getting to where you need to be and staying there for a while. Often they drive less than commuters in urban areas do. So for many people, there are thousands of employers who hire these folks. over the country, from Amazon hiring them to do warehouse work, which can involve walking 15 miles on a concrete floor on a day, to Texas oil fields that hire them as gate guards, to the annual sugar beet harvest that helps, that hires them to work as ground crew, shoveling beets and doing some other pretty tough work in on 12-hour shifts, to campgrounds and national parks all over the country. So that's where you'll find these people is doing these jobs. They are tough jobs. They typically do not pay very well. However, they are one small area of workforce in which ageism does not seem to be a factor. They are taking all warm bodies and all comers. So a lot of people are working those jobs, and when they're not, they are going financially dormant the best they can. Sometimes they're on public lands where they can camp for free or cheap. Often I see people using solar panels to generate their own electricity because the cost of that technology has come down so incredibly within recent years and put it within reach of a very wide audience. So that's some of the stuff that they're up to.
You know, I hate to draw the parallel, but it kind of seems like you've created a latter-day version of the Grapes of Wrath here. I mean, there's basically a motorized itinerant a class that's burgeoning in America, and that it seems on the face of it that it can't be good.
I think it's pretty challenging, and one of the big differences between these folks who are out on the road now related to economic circumstances and people who were out in the aftermath of the Great Depression, in my mind, is the post-Depression folks always envisioned reintegrating with mainstream society. So everybody was just figured, you know, this is a temporary anomaly. Things are going to get better, and I'll be back in. And meanwhile, today, I don't think people believe that the cavalry is going to come, that things are going to change, that what is starting to feel like a long emergency, you know, in everything from our economy to the climate to just the overarching situation of, you know, how we're going to make it in the world. I don't think people feel like we're going to return to the old quo. I think the idea that we might seems quite foreign to them. So most of the people I met were really planning to do this for the long haul. And that was something that surprised me, but it makes sense now.
It's really incredible. Maybe it's more akin to Mad Max than it is to
the grapes
of Wrath. Because I mean, well, yeah. What is the? I mean, what's
the grapes of meth?
The grapes of meth. Like, what's the ultimate end here? I mean, how does somebody live out their life in a situation where at some point they're not going to be able to drive? And if we are, as a society, and hopefully our leaders, realizing that there is a growing group of people who are turning to this because there's no economic alternative, what are we going to end up with? A bunch of people driving around, filling the roads and with, fires in oil barrels to light the chiaroscuro. I mean, what's the end game here?
Oh, I wish I knew what the end game was, but I think the trend will continue to grow, and I also think the crackdown on it is going to keep growing. Right now, we have a widespread wave of what people are worriedly referring to as the criminalization of homelessness. There's also been a crackdown in the national parks. I just got another email yesterday talking about how people who live full-time in their vehicles are being hustled off the land and sometimes not even given the rights that, you know, every person visiting this public land is entitled to in terms of staying there, which is upsetting to me. And at the same time, you know, places where these people gather, I started hanging out with them in 2013, and the numbers are just swelling. The numbers are absolutely swelling. And, you know, there's an interest in the whole tiny house movement and chic minimalism, but people never talk about the fact that economic factors actually may be shaping even those factors. And I think there's a lot more of that going on than we realize.
This is an outcropping of a larger problem, which is that we don't have affordable housing in this country, and certainly in places like the San Francisco mm-hmm. Bay Area, where there are people working for enormous companies and often well-paid people who are in this situation that still can't afford basic housing.
Yeah, I met people who were pushed out of the Bay Area when I believe they were in like a manufactured housing park, And, you know, that was swept away for luxury condos. And suddenly those people were living in a van because there was really nowhere else they could afford.
Yeah.
I met a guy also from the Bay Area who had been a San Francisco cab driver for many years, planned to retire on the value of his medallion, but got pushed out by Uber, found his medallion was no longer worth a dime, and is also living in a van. So it's really quite striking to see the situations that, that have gotten these people out on the road.
Yeah. I just, maybe Tom Joad is out there somewhere, and maybe before he loses the ability to keep driving, he and a few other folks in a similar situation can get together and do something about it, because ultimately, I don't know if there's any other alternative. Jessica Bruder, she is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. Thank you so much for talking with us about this, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for caring about these people and their stories.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com, follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews, and until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails!
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're an awfully small one, reward.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
President Trump is refusing to recertify Iran's compliance with the Iran nuclear deal, and he's slamming the previous administration for bailing out the Iranian government.
But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran.
The death toll in the California fires increasing to 31, and fire officials say conditions are not good for fighting the flames with an increase in dry wind.
We're expecting winds that could be almost to the force that we saw on Sunday and Monday. So we're not out of the woods yet. We still have danger ahead of us.
Cal Fire officials say the death toll expected to rise as more missing people are found. USA Radio News.
Are you a football bettor? If so, you've definitely seen the sports gambling movie that Hollywood made called Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey. As you know, it's all about the world's most successful professional sports handicapper, Brandon Lang, the legend who's a documented 21-3 lifetime with his Super Bowl picks. Hollywood only makes movies about winners, and when it comes to betting football, there's no bigger winner than Brandon Lang. Oscar winner Matthew McConaughey played Brandon Lang in the movie. But the real Brandon Lang can make you money tonight absolutely free. Get his best bet, along with those of his seven top handicappers, for free. That's a $700 value for free. You pick the day you want to win. Tonight, Saturday in college football, Sunday in the NFL, it's your call. Simply text the word FREE to 30838 to get all eight winners for free. No strings attached. Again, text the word FREE to 30838. Win now. Text FREE to 30838.
A judge now considering whether to toss bribery charges leveled at a U.S. senator. Here's Scott Pringle.
Well, before resting their case this week, prosecutors laid out details on how Menendez allegedly took gifts from a Florida doctor in exchange for using his power as a U.S. senator to help him. Defense lawyers argued those bribery charges should be thrown out. They point to a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling which narrowed the definition